Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, with whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday. On this day of Pentecost, 50 days after the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, churches around the world celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. All of us light up our churches somehow in red. A few of them go crazy with candles. A few others light bowls of alcohol to try and show that sense of fire, that burning, that energy that comes to us from the Holy Spirit. On this day, through our gospel text from John, we recall how Jesus predicted the coming of the Spirit to his disciples while he was still with them. We heard in this prediction how the Spirit would testify the truth of Jesus to those who would hear. We heard how the Spirit would prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. We heard about Jesus going to the Father so that the Spirit could be with the whole church in a way that Jesus alone could not. On this day, we remember how on that first Pentecost, the Spirit came upon the gathered disciples. On that day, the Spirit came in a powerful, visible way. First with the sound of a mighty rushing wind, then with the mark of fire over believers' heads. They were somehow given special gifts of languages so that they could proclaim the gospel to anyone of any nationality who who would stand still long enough to listen to it. We heard also in that lesson from Acts a piece of a sermon by none other than Peter. In this Easter season, we recall Peter. The number of times in Jesus' earthly ministry that Peter got it wrong, Peter got it right. Peter said, "I'll never leave you, even if I have to die with you." And Peter, who denied Jesus at the end, Peter, who was called to feed my sheep after the resurrection, and now Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is a preacher. Peter speaks about a prophecy from Joel, the prophet Joel, many, many years before that, about last days when the Spirit would be poured out, about visions and dreams and signs and the coming of the Lord. The prediction of the Spirit from John and the giving of the Spirit from Acts are both very dramatic stories in their own ways. Both tell of the giving of the Spirit, and by all biblical accounts, the outpouring of the Spirit is nothing short of spectacular. What Christian could not have wanted to be there on that first day of Pentecost? Have you imagined it? To be marked by fire, proving the presence of the Spirit, to speak a language you've not spoken before, to be heard in a language you don't know. Again, proving the presence of the Spirit. But we weren't there. Few, if any, among us have probably ever been given the gift of speaking in tongues. Less, I believe, have reported tongues of fire dancing over our heads. Anyone? And while, yes, we can report mighty rushing winds because we live on the prairie, but I think that's about our extent of the connectedness to the New Testament giving of the Holy Spirit in that dramatic scene from the book of Acts. Or is it? What marks the presence of the Holy Spirit for you if it's not marked by these grand signs, scenes, and visions? Perhaps we can look further back into Jesus' words in the gospel lesson from John. The Spirit is, above all, an advocate. Someone who has purposely chosen the task of standing by you, come what may. The Spirit is also a witness, one who will speak the message of the gospel into our ears and hearts in such a way that this extraordinary message, this incredible message, becomes credible, becomes believable. The Spirit is the one who comes to teach us about sin and righteousness and judgment, to convince and to convict. Through all of these individual things, the Spirit who witnesses and advocates for us and for the gospel brings us the gift of faith. And that this is the mark of the Spirit's presence. Faith. But faith, you might say, is beyond us. We are not unlike the disciples in that we are often skeptical ourselves, doubtful, sinful. practical. And at best, we honestly want things to make sense. Faith is beyond us because we are asked to accept things, to believe in things without proof of them right there in our hands. It is faith by which the farmer plants every spring, puts seeds in cold ground, and believes that a crop will come up. And if hail or rain or wind or whatever keeps that seed from growing, next year the farmer will plant another and believe again that the seed that is sunk deep into the earth will grow. Faith is not a magical thing. Faith is just knowing who we put our trust in. Faith is beyond us because we are asked to accept things, believe in things without proof of them right there in our hands. This is what was going to happen to the disciples just as soon as Jesus was out of their sight. How could they continue to believe in the fantastic things he had told them after he got crucified? And he wasn't there in person to assure them of the things that he had told them before, or convince them with his spirited preaching, or amaze them every once in a while with a sign or a miracle. How, in the midst of a doubting and hostile world, can we hope to be faithful people if God were to leave us to our own sinful selves? We cannot. As I said, faith is beyond our ability. But God does not expect us to toe the line of faith all by ourselves. Jesus does not leave us to face the world of doubt, hostility, and sin alone. And that is the difference between life and death. We are not alone. Jesus sends to us the Spirit, a helper for our unbelief, an advocate in times of judgment, a comforter in times of persecution. Just before our gospel reading, in the 14th chapter of John, we find these words from Jesus. "When I go, you will not be left alone." We are not left alone. And in the good news of Jesus Christ, that is part of the best of the good news. We were not meant to be alone. From the beginning, when God formed creation, God said it's not good to be alone. Of course, the translation might well have said it's not good that I leave them alone, but we weren't meant to be alone. God formed in us the deep need for companionship. Indeed, we cannot survive without the presence of others in our lives. This is dramatically revealed, you know, when you hear these stories about someone who gets shipwrecked or ends up in a small boat trying to sail the world by himself. First part of the trip usually starts out okay. And then they have difficulty sleeping and depression and apathy. And after a while, they start to hear imaginary voices and start hallucinating. And after a while longer, that sailor no longer knows reality from fantasy. The need for companionship is so great. Our minds will create their own in their absence. We are not meant to be alone, and God, who created us, understands that. But not only being without human companionship, we're not meant to be apart from our Creator. And that's the part sometimes we have trouble understanding. Like a toddler who says, "I'll do it myself." We do that to God all the time. But that's not how God intended it for us. We were meant to be in fellowship with God. We were meant to be in conversation and communication. And Jesus promises that this is what he intends for us to have through the presence of the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, the advocate. We cannot come to faith alone. Nor can we stand up against the temptations of the world alone. But we don't have to. Jesus has sent us the Spirit, who accomplishes in us what we can't accomplish on our own. Through the Spirit, we are brought to faith. We are uplifted in despair. We are given hope in times of doubt. We are comforted in times of persecution. We are not left alone. Faith isn't something we can prove or figure out or logically deduce. But the Spirit testifies to our hearts and souls with the truth of God, the good news of Jesus Christ, that God loves us. God forgives us. God claims us as his children. My sermon title originally had been Heirs, about heirs. H-E-I-R, not A-I-R-S. And I think about that word, and I don't know if it rubs you the wrong way too. Because when I think of heirs, I think, oh, that's someone who has received an inheritance who thinks they deserve it, didn't do anything to get it. There's a word for people like that. I don't know what it is right now. But then I think, oh my goodness, that is us. You see, we are heirs. We didn't do anything to deserve God's love and forgiveness and righteousness. All we did is say, "Yes, Lord." This morning we're going to be welcoming three new little brothers into the family of God. We will baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And in the waters of baptism, they will claim their inheritance. They will become fellow heirs with us in the kingdom of God. They don't have to do anything to deserve that. Nor did we. But ours is to continue to love, to continue to grow in that knowledge that we belong, that we are loved, that we are fellow heirs, not out of a sense of entitlement, but out of a sense of gratitude. We rejoice then, because we are not alone and we never will be. Because the Spirit brings faith where we have doubt, brings forgiveness when we have sinned, brings truth when we have lived in lies, and brings righteousness where we have known guilt. Indeed, we are far from being alone. For in the Spirit, God gives us faith, hope, and love, and the promise that we will never be alone. Through the Holy Spirit, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.